Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Some places are just tough to live in. Imagine living in Germany after any major conflict. When the 30 Years' War was over in the mid-1600s, Germany had been devastated by all of the major powers fighting in their land. It was said that at least 25 to 40% of the population had been wiped out over that war, and in some places, the death toll was up to 75%. It is said that the Swedish army that fought there destroyed 2,000 castles, 18,000 towns, and one-third of all of the villages in the country. What destruction, what bloodshed, and what violence. Imagine the dread and hopelessness of living in that place during that time. But that wasn't the only conflict that that country had endured as well. Not only did they endure World War I, they endured World War II. And after the war, their country was left in shambles. They were stricken with poverty, and they had four new captors that ruled over them. That probably wasn't an easy place to live in. And the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali fall under this same umbrella, for it was not easy living there during biblical times. As two of the more northern tribes in the country of Israel, Zebulun and Naphtali were often the first to be invaded, the first to be conquered, and the last to be released. When Assyria and Babylon would come down to attack Jerusalem or Judah, these places would be the first stop on their way down. And even in the following centuries, again, this area would be among the first to be conquered and the last to be released. Imagine having your home destroyed or your land devastated, your family either killed or taken away into captivity, your possessions stolen, and you are given a new king and a new language, and then maybe your religion is mocked. This was a reality for these people. It would not be easy living there during biblical times. These are places without much joy, hope, and deliverance. And sometimes it can even seem like that in our own lives as we go through a difficult season or time. Maybe we are troubled with some problems or a health illness, and we can feel the same in our own lives. But Isaiah has a special word for comfort for them and for us. He proclaims, "But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former times he brought in the contempt, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations." Isaiah tells the people in this land that is in anguish and that is hated, that it will be made glorious. He tells them that God will do something special in this despised and humbled land. There will be peace, joy, and deliverance here. Isaiah tells us that these things can come in an unexpected place. And he tells us why this place will be glorious and special. He says, "The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has a light shone." For those people walking in the darkness of sin and death, they will see a great light. This great light will shine on them, and it's the Lord's salvation, a deliverance from sin and from death. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be the first to experience this salvation, despite the hardships and sufferings that they have gone through. The Lord has not forgotten them, and this salvation brings them a great joy. And Isaiah likens this joy to two images. The first he uses is the joy of a harvest. After the long months of plowing and toiling and watering and planting and waiting, there's a great joy when the harvest comes. There's a joy that happens when you get to gather all of the fruits of your labor and you get to enjoy them after that long wait is over. And he also likens it to the joy of dividing the spoils of war. After a long and dangerous conflict, there's a sense of joy that happens when you can enjoy the loot and plunder of war in peace. But But I suspect not everyone does a harvest in this day and age, or is a soldier who gets to enjoy the loot of war. Perhaps a more modern example of this would be retirement. After the decades of working and going in early and going home late and sitting in traffic and dealing with all the stressors and frustrations of work, there's a joy and a relief and a peace that happens when you're finally done with it all and you get to enjoy the rest of your life in peace. The prophet tells us that there will be a great joy in this unexpected place. But he tells us there will be a great salvation revealed here too. He says the tools of enslavement will be broken and destroyed. God will free his people in an unexpected and glorious way from the things that spiritually enslave them. He will do it like how he saved the land of Zebulun and Naphtali through the judge Gideon. Gideon delivered these lands in a miraculous way when he defeated the foes at Midian with 300 unimpressive men. He started with a force of 32,000 and narrowed it down to 300 unimpressive guys that you wouldn't want to take into battle. These guys defeat an army that is described as thick as locusts and as having camels as numerous as the sands on the seashore. This underdog army defeated a powerful, a numerous foe. This was God's victory and his work. And it will be the same here too, Isaiah says. The prophet says there will be a great and unexpected deliverance. And he tells this oft-conquered people of a new kingdom and a new king. He tells them the reason for their joy and confidence. He tells us a rather familiar text. He says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." What a message for these people who lived in a land with little peace, little joy, and little hope. What a future that Isaiah tells them about. What a king that will rule over them. What a spiritual kingdom that will be theirs. If only this message could be for us in this future for you and me. But it is. This message is for us. This future is here now. Matthew and Jesus tell us so. These kingdom and these gifts of joy, peace, and salvation are here now. Matthew tells us that these things have come in Jesus and first came at an unexpected place in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. For it was in those lands that Jesus had his home base for ministry. These were the first places to receive those gifts and kingdoms, that kingdom that Jesus brings. Isaiah's word was fulfilled when Jesus began his ministry here. God remembered his promise. And it's here that Jesus began to preach as well. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus gives us a summary of that gospel message that God forgives repentant sinners through the death and resurrection of his Son. He gives a summary of that message that not only brings peace, but that gives peace as well. He gives a summary of that message that breaks the enslaving power of sin and death. He tells us the message that brings people out of darkness and in to God's marvelous light of salvation. This kingdom of peace and righteousness that he tells us about comes in him, and it was established at an unexpected place. It was established at a place outside of the city where the Savior's blood was shed and where the breath of life drew his last breath. It happened where the King of Life was mocked and stripped, where his healing hands were pinned to a lifeless tree. It happened at an empty tomb that proclaims that your Savior is risen. God is not mad. All is right between him and humanity. One day in Christ, God will make all things new and all things well. And we are made members of this kingdom and given this peace in unexpected ways as well. It's through a few drops of water and the word that we are given membership into this kingdom. It's through a few drops of water that our sin is washed away and that we are forgiven. It's through a wafer and some wine that God comes to us, where he dwells with us and gives us his salvation. It's through ordinary men that God tells us that we are forgiven and that we are at peace with him through Jesus. And we have these gifts and kingdoms in any circumstance. When our lives seem crazy and stressful, we still have God's peace. When we are during any hardship, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical, or health related, we are still right with God and members of his eternal kingdom. And this peace gives us a joy when it seems like there is none in our lives. Listen to what the prophet Habakkuk said when he and his country were facing destruction. He writes, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the field yields no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places." We can always have a joy in our Lord and what he has done for us despite the circumstances in our lives. Isaiah's prophecy this morning shows us that God has fulfilled his word and he keeps his promises. God really does give joy, peace, salvation, his kingdom in unexpected places and times. In his name, amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who gives us peace. Amen.